Welcome to the Neighborhood Church Misawa Sermon Podcast. NCM is a multicultural church serving the English-speaking community in Misawa. For more information or to contact us, visit us online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.
We're nearing the end of our empowerment series. And even though next week will be our final in that series, even though we are ending or coming towards the end of the empowerment series, I truly pray that you continue to seek after the Lord. You continue to seek him in his word. You continue to seek after the Holy Spirit and how he longs to move in your life, how he longs to empower you to be able to serve him and to be able to do what he's called you to do. And so we have looked at how the Holy Spirit empowers us. And Jesus said to the disciples to go into all the world, and that is also our call, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, teach them to follow after my commands and to obey. But he also said, go and wait in Jerusalem because you'll receive the power that's necessary to do what I've called you to do. And that's still the command and the call to us, is that while we're called to reach the lost and share the gospel and teach others to follow after him, it requires the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. We really cannot do this on our own. And so we have looked at how the Holy Spirit empowers us to boldness, empowers us to discipleship, empowers us to heal, to speak, empowers us to endure, empowers us to deliver, and empowers us to hear. And today we're going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit empowers us to plant. Now, when I say plant, of course, I'm not talking about gardening, because obviously I am a walking poster child for someone who should not garden because I've killed bamboo. Like, who kills bamboo? Me. So it is not, praise God, the Lord did not call me to plant a garden because I would fail miserably. But he calls each and every one of us to plant. And so what does that look like? It means that we are each called to share the gospel. We're each called to disciple. We're each called to build up the community of faith through Jesus Christ, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we see that it's not just a call where we're at, but to establish communities of faith around the world. That's why there's a church here in Misawa, is because we want to help build up the kingdom of God in this place. That's why we give to missions, because we want to help build up the kingdom of God in Kenya. We want to help build up the kingdom of God in Lithuania. We want to help build up the kingdom of God in Thailand and all these different places, because God has called us to plant, and we plant here, and we send funds and we pray so that others can plant as well. But we're going to look this morning in Acts chapter 19. We're going to read verses 1 through 10, Acts 19, if you have your Bible. If not, it'll be on the screen. Acts 19, verses 1 through 10. Scripture says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word that is always, always an encouragement, always a challenge, always anointed by your Holy Spirit. May it be that for us today. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word and be transformed by it. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we read how the Holy Spirit had prevented Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy from entering into Asia, which is where Ephesus is. The Holy Spirit had prevented them from going that way and guided them in a different path. And so now we see Paul step into Ephesus and begin to share the gospel, begin to disciple and teach and preach and all of these things. And I just want to remind you again, I know I said this last week, but sometimes the Lord gives us passions and desires and ideas, not necessarily for that moment. It's so that we can hang on to them, so we can pray over them, so we can ask the Lord when it's his time, how we can operate in that, just like Paul. Paul wanted to go to Ephesus. It was a desire to share the gospel in Ephesus, but the Lord was taking them elsewhere. And so learning how to be patient in that, which is not easy, learning how to be patient in that, and in the right timing, the Lord brings us where we need to be to use those desires, to use those passions, to use those abilities for his kingdom's sake and his perfect timing. Guys, God is so faithful in his perfect timing, getting people where they need to be, when they need to be there, so that they will not only hear the gospel, but so that we'll be ready to share the gospel. And so we see that Paul has now walked into Ephesus. And per his usual tradition, he begins to look for believers. Are there any believers in this city? Are there any ones who are following after Jesus? And what he comes across is some disciples or students of Apollos. And so if you go back to chapter 18, you see that Apollos was a Jew who had come to know about Jesus. He actually taught about Jesus, but he didn't have a full understanding. He was never discipled. He was never trained fully. And so while he taught about Jesus, he didn't have that complete understanding of who he was teaching about, who he was serving. And so Priscilla and Aquila at that time, the Lord used, brought Apollos into their home. And scripture says that they taught him more thoroughly who Jesus was, who, what the gospel of Jesus is, and what it meant to follow after the Father, what it meant to have salvation in Jesus. And after that, Apollos went out of the city, out of Ephesus, and went to Corinth. And so as Paul steps into Ephesus, he finds these students of Apollos, who Apollos had taught before he was discipled. And so Paul begins to ask him, hey, you know, who do you follow? And he realizes that there's some misunderstandings. They don't quite understand who Jesus is. They don't quite have the gospel. And so he begins to declare that and begins to teach them everything that they needed to know. You see, in the Great Commission, when Jesus said, go and share the gospel, he didn't just say, go and preach the gospel, and when they receive me, you keep moving on. Scripture says, go, share the gospel and teach them to follow after me. That's discipleship. As much as evangelism is important, because we need to be able to share the gospel of Jesus, discipleship is an essential part of that process. We don't just go and introduce someone to Jesus and then say, good luck, hope this works out for you. Come back, maybe I'll check back with you later. No, here's Jesus, and then here's how to follow him. Come alongside me. Watch how I follow him. Here's what scripture says. Here's what it means to follow after Jesus. And so that's the heart of planting, not just evangelism, but discipleship. Discipleship is so essential. Guys, I know I just said it. I know you always hear me say it, but discipleship's so essential. We can't be cut off from each other. We need each other. We need to be able to dig into the Word of God together. We need sound teaching. We need sound instruction. It's important. I was reading a story about a pastor in Venezuela who would travel around, especially into the jungles, and share the gospel and build up communities of faith and build up the church as he was in the jungle. He would spend time in villages and build up, raise up leaders, and then he would move on to the next place. He said as he was traveling one time, he came across a village that was a Christian village in the middle of the jungle, and he knew that there had never been a missionary that had gone into that village. There had never been another believer in that village. So as he spoke with them and began to ask them questions, he found out that one of the young men had gone to the city to trade some goods. And while he was there, someone gave him a Bible. And so this young man came back to the village with his Bible, and he would read the Bible. I mean, it's something new. They had never seen it before. So they would all gather for the readings of the Word of God. And in turn, as they heard the Word of God, the Holy Spirit was moving on their hearts, and they all began to follow Jesus. They all came to salvation in Jesus But the difficult part is that they had no one to teach them. They had no one to help them understand the Word of God, no one to teach them how to follow after Jesus. They simply had the Word of God. And this pastor from Venezuela said that they kind of gathered three heresies or false teachings in the way that they served the Lord. And he said one of them was that they only worshiped on Saturday. They only went to church on Saturday. And that's the only way that they thought that they could serve Jesus. While we can go to church on Saturday, it's not against the rules. It's not against the laws, right? It's not that we only have to go to church on Saturday. Really, it can be any day. We can go to church any single day of the week. It's not mandated. And so he began to teach them the right way of how to follow Jesus and that you could be free in serving Jesus and having service on any day. He said that the second discrepancy that he came across, or the kind of the false teaching that he came across, was that they abstained from pork. They didn't eat pork because in the Old Testament, right, God had told them, don't eat pork, don't eat shrimp, don't eat lobster, don't eat bacon. And so they abstained from bacon. Sad, sad life, right? They didn't have any pork in their lives. And so he began to teach them that while that was the Old Testament, Jesus came to fulfill the law, but they were no longer bound by that. And he said that the third heresy, or the third false doctrine that they had taken on, was that they had killed all of their dogs. And the reason that this happened is because in Philippians, so crazy. In Philippians, Paul said, beware of the dogs. And he was talking about the false teachers. Beware of the false teachers. But he said, beware of the dogs. And so they were like, we need to beware of the dogs. Let's just kill them and get rid of this, right? And so how easily, without teaching and without discipleship, that the word of God can be twisted. I read another story that's a little bit more serious. It's a lot more serious. Definitely doesn't have the humor of beware of the dogs. I read a story about this young man who went to or was part of a house church in China, but the house church did not have sound teaching, didn't really have anyone who had been discipled and trained themselves. And so as the man began to serve the Lord and read the Bible, he ended up sacrificing his son because he had read that Moses was going to sacrifice his son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah, and he wanted to imitate that. And so, not Moses, Abraham. Saw Trinity going, sorry, Abraham, yeah. That's the guy, not Moses. Sorry, Abraham. Good job, Trinity. Proud of you. Anyways, and so Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, Isaac, on Mount Moriah. And as this young man read that, he thought that he needed to imitate Abraham, and he sacrificed his son. And so how discipleship is integral. It is important in the life of a believer that we have the Word of God, that we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us, but then we also commit ourselves to each other. Guys, not only am I asking you to do that here in this church or wherever the Lord places you, but I commit myself to that as well. I mean, hello, my daughter just corrected me, and I'm totally fine with that because I don't want you to think that Moses was asked to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah. I want you to have the right understanding, but I also commit myself to others who will impart into my life, who will offer correction and encouragements in my life. It is important in the life of a believer to commit ourselves to discipleship, and not only to be committed and sit under discipleship, but commit ourselves to disciple others, to take the things that the Lord has poured into your life and then allow others to learn that along with you. It's imperative, guys, especially in our culture. And this was several years ago. Same idea, right? That people could be twisted in the Word of God or not have the full understanding, that the culture would take some parts of the truth. I mean, if you look even back in the Garden of Eden, what did Satan do? He took the truth and he twisted it. Just so it'll look a little bit similar, but not completely, wouldn't throw Adam and Eve off too much, just enough to get them completely off track. And that's how Satan will work. But we need to commit ourselves to the Word of God, commit ourselves to being discipled, commit ourselves to discipling others. And out of that, we see what happened with Priscilla and Aquila as they discipled Apollos. And Apollos went on, began to share the gospel elsewhere and discipling others. We see that as Paul discipled these 12, who then, as we read in this passage in chapter 19, became co-workers in the gospel, sharing the gospel, because it wasn't just one person sharing the gospel and discipling. Now with the added 12, there was 13 sharing the gospel, and how that begins to build up the kingdom of God. Guys, this is not a one man, one woman job, one man, one woman job for you. We need each other to be able to encourage each other, to train each other, to pray for each other, to share the gospel together, to work together, to disciple together. And out of that, more will begin to hear the gospel. And so verse 8 says that Paul then began to enter the synagogues, as his usual tradition as well. If there was a synagogue in the city, he would go in there and he began to share the gospel. And it says for 3 months, he spent time in the synagogue. He spent time arguing and sharing, not like arguing in a mean way. We hear that word and we're like, really? He was arguing? No, it was like he was sharing the gospel, defending the gospel, sharing the truth in the synagogue. And what happens? It says that people became obstinate, and they began to malign the way. Now, obstinate, and that word simply means that they began to be stubborn and hardened in their hearts. Those that heard the gospel from Paul began to say, I refuse to hear this. I refuse to hear what you're saying. I don't want to hear it anymore. La, 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 la. And they were not quiet refusals. It says they began to malign the way. They began to speak horribly ill against the word of God, against the gospel. They began to speak evilly against the gospel and against Jesus. And so what did Paul do? He didn't sit there and further argue with them. He didn't sit there and continue to try and combat what they were saying. He was like, fine, don't want to hear it. That's good. I will move on to the next place. I will move on to the Hall of Tyrannus where we can share, where we can disciple, where we can train others. And out of that, that's where growth will be. Guys, you have to have an understanding that not everybody, if you don't already know this, not everybody is going to take to the gospel of Jesus as you share it. Not everybody is going to be like, yes, I would love to give up drinking and partying. I would love to stop being promiscuous. I would love to be able to walk away from this. I would love to do that. I'm going to follow Jesus. I want to be transformed. I want to be changed. Not everybody's going to do that. Some will not only push you away, but they'll be hateful. But we cannot allow that to cause us to pull back. We cannot allow that to cause us to shrink. We just say, okay, I'm sharing the gospel with you. You don't want to receive it. That's fine. I'm going to move on to the next person, and I'm going to keep planting, and I'm going to keep planting, and I'm going to keep pouring in. I'm going to keep sharing the love of Jesus with others, because that's what we're called to do. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus was teaching the disciples and the crowds that had gathered around him. And he was telling several different parables. And one of the parables that he told in Matthew 13 was about the seeds and the gospel. And he told them a story about a farmer who planted seeds, and he didn't plant them one by one. It says that he scattered the seeds out. So he was throwing the seeds out. And in usual fashion, if you are scattering seeds that way, obviously not me, because they'll all die. But if you are a gardener or a farmer and you are planting those seeds and you're scattering them out, those seeds will fall in different places. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He said that some of the seeds fell along the path, and the birds, which obviously have to be crows because they're horribly sneaky, the birds came along and they ate the seeds and stole them. Jesus said, and then some of the seeds fell along the rocky path. So it was a little bit of soil, but it was really rocky, so the roots couldn't go deep. They would sprout, the plants began to sprout, but the minute the sun came out, scorched them, they withered, and they died. It said that some of the seeds fell upon the weeds and the thorns. And as they began to grow, the weeds and the thorns sucked the life out of them, and they died. And Jesus said, but then some of the seeds fell on good soil. And they not only sprouted, but they multiplied and doubled and way past what he had planted. And that he said that this is the heart of sharing the gospel. This is the heart of casting out seeds, casting out the gospel, sharing the gospel with others, that not everyone will receive the gospel. Not everyone will receive Jesus, but we cannot allow it to keep us from doing it. You know, Wilman, really, he is the gardener in our family, and I'm so grateful because I like to take what he has gardened and cook with it. But I wanted some Thai basil, can't get that here. And so he planted some Thai basil for me, little bitty seeds, planted a whole bunch of them. Three of them grew up. And today, only one of them has survived. And that's because he planted a whole bunch, but only one survived through it. But it didn't stop him from planting. In fact, if you look at the heart of gardeners and farmers, they know that some will not make it. They know some of the seeds will either die, some of the produce will be eaten by crows or tanuki or whatever else we have in this area. They know that some will be scorched out by the sun. And so what do? Do they plant less because of it? No, they plant more to cover because of that, because they know that not all will receive the seed and begin to grow. And the same is true for us. Guys, just because someone doesn't receive the gospel, someone doesn't come to know Jesus, someone walks away, we don't bring it back. No, we plant the seed all the more. We plant the seed all the more. It may not be in that same one that's rejected it, but we plant and we plant and we throw out the seed and we throw out the seed and we ask God, who is the gardener? Who is the one who grows? We ask him, God, would you move in their hearts? God, would you soften their hearts? God, would you cause this seed to take root? So don't be discouraged if seeds don't take root. Don't allow Satan to discourage you if someone doesn't turn to Jesus when you share the gospel. Don't allow it to discourage you if someone decides to walk away from Jesus. Don't allow it to discourage you. Pray for them. Cover them in prayer. Cover them in prayer. And keep sharing the gospel with others, because that's what happened with Paul. That's what happened with Jesus. And you know, in Matthew chapter 10, a few chapters before chapter 13, Jesus was sending out the disciples. And as he sent them out, he was giving them these tidbits of encouragement and kind of some instructions. And one of the things he told them was in chapter 10, verse 14. And he said, if anyone will not welcome you, or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. He was encouraging them ahead of time. Praise God for that. Because here's what Satan likes to tell us. We share the gospel and someone doesn't receive it. You are at fault. You didn't say the right things. You messed it up. Your delivery was a little jacked up. You should never do this. That's what happens when you step out and do what God's called you to do. That's what happens. You should have just stayed quiet. Let someone else take care of it. They've been serving Jesus longer than you. Let them do it, right? And so that's what Satan likes to do. But yet Jesus said, listen, if someone doesn't receive it, don't take it personally. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. And so we have to just simply say, shake the dust off my feet. We have to keep on moving and keep on sharing the gospel, because we need each other and we have to partnership in this. Planting the seeds all the more. Disciple all the more. You may say, well, I don't know that much about God. Well, what do you know? What have you learned? What have you experienced? What is it that Jesus has spoken to you? What is the one verse? Maybe it's just one verse that God has poured into your life and you can grasp onto that and share it with someone else. Guys, it doesn't require a seminary degree to be able to share the gospel. It doesn't require going to Bible college to be able to disciple. Maybe God will call you to that. That's amazing. But all of us are called to share the gospel. And I love Jeff Hartenzelt, as I mentioned, our regional director. He said it this way. He said, the mandate of the Great Commission is that all believers do all that is necessary so that all people everywhere hear the gospel. All believers do all that is necessary so that all people everywhere will hear the gospel. This requires you and me and you and you and you sharing the gospel, training others, discipling. This is what the empowerment to plant is all about. All peoples everywhere sharing the gospel around the world. You are a part in Misawa. If you are a believer, you are a part of planting the church of God, not planting neighborhood church. Yes, we want people to be able to come in and feel the presence of the Lord. We want people to be discipled. It's important to be a part of the body of Christ. Scripture says, don't forsake the gathering, because we need each other, guys. But listen, we are not building up the kingdom of Neighborhood Church Misawa. We are building up the kingdom of God. We're building up the church of Jesus Christ. And so you are a part of that. You are a part of it when you are with your coworkers. You're a part of it when you're at school. You're a part of it when you are in your neighborhood. You know, often as people come into the church, most of the time when I ask them, you know, how did you hear about the church? Most of the time it's not because of our Facebook page, though we do really we work really hard to keep that up. It's not because of our website. It's not because of that. Although there are some, because they are believers and they come in and they hit the ground running. Most of the time, you know how people find out about church? It's from word of mouth. It's because some coworker invited their coworker and said, hey, why don't you come to church? It's because someone who was in class, who was a teenager, or who was a teacher, whatever it may be, and said, hey, would you like to come to church with me? Hey, would you like to come and hear what Jesus is doing? Hey, would you like to come? You know, maybe it's at a barbecue and you're, you know, eating and you're talking with someone and the Lord just opens up an opportunity. And like I said, it's not about building up Neighborhood Church Misawa. It's about building up the kingdom of God, but we have to give them an opportunity to be able to come in and be encouraged, to be able to come in and hear the word of God. And so it doesn't happen behind this pulpit. So this is important too. I want you to get up. Well, she says not important. I'm not going to come on Sunday. That's not what I said. I'm saying that it is a partnership. This is dependent on you. And you are dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And it all works in partnership to plant. That's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives to plant. So what is it that the Lord wants you to do? And I know that COVID has changed things. I know that COVID has changed our usual paths of maybe inviting people or maybe spending a lot of time. But God is the God of creation. If he can create everything from nothing, he can give you the creative idea of how to be able to speak to someone and share the gospel. He can give you the creativity to be able to disciple someone. He can give you the creativity, knowing whatever situation you're in, to be able to reach others and to be able to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to plant. What is it that God wants to do in and through you? And maybe one day, maybe the Lord will call you back to Japan to learn the language and to be a missionary here. Maybe the Lord will call you to another place and help you to learn the language there and to be able to plant communities of faith, maybe where there are some or maybe where there's none. But maybe while God has you here, he's wanting you to plant communities of faith where you're at, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what he's called you to do while you wait, serve, and then see what he does as he takes you to your next place. I can get Susan and Miriam to come. God desires to build the passion in you for the lost. It happens through prayer. It won't happen anywhere else. It happens as you read the word of God. It won't happen anywhere else. It happens as you experience the mercy and the grace of the Lord. You begin to have that for others. And then through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, I know you hear me say that word over and over and over through this series, but how greatly we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can share the gospel, so that we can be understanding of what someone needs and be able to respond, so that we can pour our lives into others, so that we can train up and reach the lost, so we can send them out and as partnering together to disciple and train. So what is it God wants to do in and through you?
Thank you for listening to the Neighborhood Misawa's Sermon Podcast. If you need prayer, email us at neighborhoodmisawa@gmail.com or online at neighborhoodmisawa.com.